This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, so they finally did it, folks. The Bills finally won one of these game of the year games, 48-42. Wild, incredible. 48-42 over the Detroit Lions. I mean, I was definitely wrong. I thought it would be a lower scoring game than most people thought it would. The over-under was 54.5, and they blew that away because I thought both teams would really want to run the ball, control the clock, that would kind of, you know, lend them a little bit more low scoring. Well, both teams did want to run the ball. Difference was the Bills did it very well, and the Lions didn't do it very well. And of course, there was a lot more to the game, but that was a little bit of it. Holy cow, what did we just watch? Josh Allen is incredible. I'm already home. It is right now. I'll tell everybody. It's 12:05 a.m. on Monday morning after Sunday night. I fly on the team charter, as most of you know, as part of the Bills radio broadcast. We landed at about 10:45 p.m. In Buffalo and got home here and got situated to bring you It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, the post-game edition here. Matt Bove a lot of times does this. Matt's scrambling around in Detroit, so I'm doing this right now. So we're going to give Matt the post-game off this time and talk about what happened here with the Bills and the Lions. So I just tweeted out, and I want you to go and find the tweet if you're listening to this right now, and hopefully this is up pretty soon after I record. What I wrote was, okay, here it is. The Bills gave up 473 yards passing, five passing touchdowns, and 521 total yards of offense. Yet actually watching how the game was played, I actually feel good about how the defense played outside of a few moments. Am I nuts? Because that's the truth. I actually feel like, despite all of those huge numbers going against the Bills, that's about as good as you can feel in that type of situation at the end of the game. See, I think for me, and I've been thinking about this, like, man, such numbers. Like, how do you reconcile giving up those stats and still feel good about how you played? And I think the reason is because outside of a few moments late in the game, right? Especially like really late, and then the Lions are going for the onside kick, they almost get it. Like, outside of that, I think the reason is I just think the Bills, to me, I felt like they were in control of this game the entire way. They were in control of this game really since the opening drive. The opening drive, they go right down the field. It's a great drive. They have three straight 70-plus yard offensive drives to start the game. I'm going to pull up my drive chart here because let me find it in the game book that I brought home here. But they had three 70-plus yard offensive drives to start the game. And here we go. 73, 78. Here are the Bills' drives, all right? 73, 78, 80, 66, 28, 70, 37, 23, 38, 5, 62. I mean, it was incredible. One, two, three, four, five drives of their first six were 66 yards or longer. and they scored touchdown. Here's how the drives ended. Touchdown, 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 missed field goal. We'll talk about that. End of the half, touchdown, punt, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal. End of the game. They were just incredible on the offensive side. And that's a big reason why the big numbers happen on the defensive side. You see, if you're going to look at this game and you're going to do what we call box score scouting, you're going to look at those numbers I just gave you, 473 yards passing and five touchdowns, 521 total yards of offense, and say, oh my God, I can't believe it. Sean McDermott, this defense he runs is going to cost them. And I'm not telling you everything was perfect, not at all. But I think you have, this is where I just want to get some nuance in. And I try to do this when I'm on the radio and when I'm here. Game script matters, everyone. Okay. Game script matters. What that means is how the game is flowing lends to how you play the game a bit differently. If this was a very tight competitive game from the start, I don't think you're giving up all those yards at the end of the day. The Lions were forced to be one dimensional. That's what they had to be. It is a defensive coordinator's dream to make an offense one dimensional where they can't really run the ball. It's not conducive to them to win the game anymore by doing it. So they just want to throw the ball. And that's if you can only throw the ball, that's why the Lions had the kind of numbers they had. I mean, yeah, Jared Goff threw for close to 500 yards. He was good. I don't think he was great. Missed a lot of throws. Actually, the Bills pressured him into some short arm throws, some hurries. He threw the ball 59 times. I mean, 494 yards. Yeah, 59 times. I looked it up. Did the math. It was 8 point something yards a throw, which is good. It's not outstanding. They did have one really long pass, a 66 yarder. It was a catch and run to Amon-Ra St. Brown. But other than that, the Bills really didn't give up a lot of any plays over the top. They gave up mid range plays. They gave up plays to the second level. And a lot of those were because they were playing in the zone, knowing they were up two scores and even three scores at times, and kept it in front of them. I think in a way, the Rams kind of did that last week against the Bills, and that's why the Bills were able to have some big numbers and catch up and make some plays and make it a game at the end. Very similar to last week's game against the Rams, just flipped the script as far as the team. But overall, I feel really good about how the defense played, and I think that's because compared to last week, this was just pretty much, I would almost say dominant by the Bills front seven. They were dominant. They played a heck of a football game. And starting with Ed Oliver, played his best game of the year. Ed Oliver was really good in this game, and the Bills needed him to be. And the Bills really took last week to heart, I think. And last week when we were in the locker room after the game and listening to Taron Johnson and Terrell Bernard, and then Wednesday and listening to Sean McDermott, you got the feeling that they were just so upset at their own play, the standard of play, their own preparation, maybe not executing their own game plan, that they were going to be a lot better. But man, that even exceeded my expectations. Ed Oliver, he created a lot of pressure on his own. He did have a sack, four total tackles. The sack, like I said, he had a game high, tied for a game high, three quarterback hits. He forced a fumble, might have been on the sack, might have not been, but can't remember exactly when that happened. Greg Rousseau also had three quarterback hits. The Bills front seven did a great job, but really maybe no other example of that than what they did against the Lions run game. I mean, the Lions running game comes into the game and everyone says, okay, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, the Bills won't be able to stop them, especially looking what other teams have done on the ground this year. Well, the Bills did 15 carries for 48 yards total. Jared Goff had 13 of those. He doesn't even run the ball that well. Between Gibbs and Montgomery, they ran a total for 35 yards. That's it. Overall, the Bills gave up 48 yards rushing, only 3.2 yards a carry. Gibbs had 3.9, Montgomery 0.8, five carries, 4 yards. And they did a great job against the run. Something people don't think about a lot and don't, maybe when you look at the numbers, you look at the game, and when you want to talk about coaching, things like that, look at the Bills' inactive list today. Look at the Bills' active and inactive list. The Bills last week against the Rams, Quentin Jefferson was active. Jordan Phillips was not. The Bills decided in this game to keep Jordan Phillips active and activate Juwan Smoot on Saturday, and he was active for the game. Those guys made a difference in the run game. The Bills wanted more beef. That was a good decision. That's a good, operational decision by the Bills, by their coaching staff. And they did a really good job there. I mean, I know I haven't talked about Josh Allen. I will. Defensively, one of the things that the reasons why I feel good, as despite the numbers, folks, they had three starters out of four. I mean, five, I guess, if you count Taron Johnson. But I'll be two outside corners and two safeties. Three of the starters were out. Rasul Douglas at corner, safeties, Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp. Three backups playing. And although Cam Lewis plays quite a bit in like dime situations or nickels and is the backup nickel, he doesn't play a lot of safety these days. I mean, he is a safety listed by trade, but it's not really what he does a ton of, like playing in the back end safety. He plays dime safety when he comes in dime situations. But him and Cole Bishop, who really doesn't play much at all, he's played nine snaps, I believe, since that Houston game. And then Kyrie Elam. I mean, give these guys credit. It's funny. I wrote arrow up, arrow down. Go check it out, WGR550.com. I wrote arrow up, arrow down. And I actually gave an arrow up to Kyrie Elam, Cole Bishop, and Cam Lewis. Do you think I'm nuts for doing that? I don't think so. Here's why. Even though Goff had a great day statistically, all right, these are three backups filling in. And when you have three backups all at once filling in, you're going to have communication that's never been together with them necessarily, not in a game situation. It's collectively, it just kind of compounds when you have those backups. We know that, how that works. And yet here these guys are, they did not allow anything over the top of them. One time Jameson Williams did get deep. He dropped it and there was a penalty. That doesn't count, right? Because it didn't happen. It was a penalty in the play and he dropped the ball anyway. But either way, they did not get beat deep. And their job was to keep everything in front of them. And they did that. And I give them credit for that. I think Kyrie Elam played a good game. I think Cole Bishop and Cam Lewis played a good game, despite the numbers, which is wild to me. Where the Bills really got hurt was their linebacker coverage and the second level. And it wasn't specifically like a linebacker, oh my God, Terrell Bernard or Matt Milano. Like, not like that. It was just in the second level. And that's because, again, game script, the way that the Lions were playing them. So I feel as good as can be about a game in which the Buffalo Bills gave up 500 yards plus of total offense and close to 500 yards passing. But I also feel good because the Buffalo Bills have the best player in the National Football League. They have the league MVP. He better be the league MVP. Josh Allen is unbelievable. I mean, once again, on display what he can do. Folks, we should appreciate what we're watching. I hope you do. I hope you do. I'm on the field, right? I'm on the field watching this guy. Some of the plays he makes, some of the throws, I find myself just in awe. I've been on the field with some of the best of the best of this generation. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And Phillip Rivers is like a guy I don't think gets enough credit. I've seen him play and been on the field. Drew Brees, right? These guys, Patrick Mahomes, of course. Like, I've seen it. I've seen these guys. This cat right now, Josh Allen, the way he's playing, above and beyond anything I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. What he's doing, especially with the cast around him, is just truly remarkable. So Josh, in this game, he finishes 23 of 34, 362 yards, and two touchdowns passing. What is 23 for 34 here? Let me just get the numbers. I know, folks, it's a little bit late, so I'm doing this as best I can here for you, all right? 23 divided by 34. Josh was 67.6% passing. I'll take that. 362 yards, like I said, two touchdowns. Oh, and by the way, he added 68 yards rushing on 11 carries. That's 6.2 yards a carry for a total of 430 yards of total offense. Two touchdowns running. He had four touchdowns. He had six last week. 10 touchdowns. I think he has 14 in the last 3 weeks. I think Chris Brown said in the broadcast with us, 10 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. It's unbelievable what he's doing. He's incredible. And, you know, the Bills, we're very lucky. We're very lucky to have him in Buffalo. He deserves the MVP. And in this game, here we go again. How many guys had targets? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. You know who didn't? Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper did not have a target in this game, and yet the Bills still threw for 362 yards. And they out-yardaged the Lions overall. Total yards in this game. Let me get that for you because, well, I just said the Lions had 521. The Bills had 559 yards of offense. I mean, what a wild, wacky game. Now, got a little too close at the end, and that's because the Bills weren't perfect, no doubt about that. And you could, you know, blame coaching and decisions. I don't know. I think that, you know, the offense had something to do with that, by the way. The offense closes out their goal-to-go situation with about 3 minutes left, then we don't get in the situation the team is in towards the end of the game. But they couldn't. That was an issue in the end of the first half and the end of the second half, the goal-to-go situations. The first half, Bills had it first and goal from the Lions 3 with under 2 minutes left. They get stopped on a run, and then they throw the ball to the 1 yard line. Well, then why are they not running the tush push? They just said last week it's our best play, right? But they don't run it. And the next play, Allen throws incomplete, and they settle for a field goal attempt. So did not. And then I think there was a penalty in there, but either way, they settled for the field goal attempt, and that's when Tyler Bass misses the chip shot. And by the way, Tyler Bass, you can't miss a 24-yard field goal. I mean, this would have put the Bills up 10 points and only kept them up 7. And luckily, I mean, the Lions never led in this game. It wasn't even tied unless other was 0-0. But the Bills could have been, you know, up in this game by 10 points. I said it wasn't tied, was it? No, it wasn't. The Bills were up 14-0. So, no, the Lions had never... were never closer really than 7 points throughout the game until the end. So, and then the Bills won by 6. You can't miss that after Tyler Bass. Now, Bass otherwise perfect on extra points. And then he did hit a really important field goal a little bit later in the game, 50 yards. And that one came in the fourth quarter, 14:02 in the fourth quarter left. Bass also hit a 41-yarder with 2 minutes left, but that was because the Bills weren't as buttoned up at the end of that sequence as they should have been either. They have goal to go at the end of the second half. First and goal from the 10-yard line. 3:43 left. Chance to, I'd say, ice the game with a touchdown. Who knows, right? They ran it once for no gain. Then an incompletion. Then on third down, Allen escapes. Chest pass to Kincaid. Oh, my God. Another highlight reel play. But it's called back because of a penalty. Then they have to just run the ball because they don't want to make a mistake. And then Bass hits the field goal. So those are situations where they could have helped not put the defense in the position it was in at the end of the game. Then the defense at the end of the game, they're playing this soft zone. They're back there. They're playing kind of a prevent, not get beat deep. And the Lions are taking advantage of it. Bam, bam, bam. They go down the field. They finally score. And of course, we all see what happens at the end, the onside kick. Holy moly. I mean, there wasn't 13 seconds, right? There was 12 seconds, but I kept thinking, is this the 12 second game, right? And I mean, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Taron Johnson kind of has it, but it goes off him. Terrell Bernard comes in and pushes the ball under into Taron Johnson's belly, so he keeps it. And that's how the Bills actually wound up keeping the ball at the end of the game and, icing it and winning 48-42. So what a crazy game. And like I said earlier, the Bills finally win one of these games, right? They finally win one of these games that are, you know, the game of the year type, the back and forth, oh my God games. Because we've had too many of these where they did not do that. Running game overall was amazing. Great game plan by Joe Brady. Joe Brady did a great job. Comes into the game, and we had said on the radio this week and had a discussion about how the weakness of the Lions defense, yeah, they're out a lot of guys, okay? Not an excuse. Bills were out a lot of guys last year. It's football, and people have to adapt. Bills were out 3 starters in their secondary in this game. But one of the ways the Bills should attack the Lions is at the second level of their defense. And Joe Brady did a perfect, masterful job of that. And it was running backs against linebackers, running backs against linebackers. How about the day that Ty Johnson had? We could call this the Ty Johnson game. We would if it wasn't for Josh Allen, what he did. I mean, Josh will probably get another AFC, you know, offensive player of the week this week. It's wild. But Ty Johnson, over 100 yards receiving in this game, 114 on 5 catches, 95 of them in the first half alone, 9 rushing yards. So he had 113 yards from scrimmage. But great job by Joe Brady to scheme up and get Ty Johnson isolated on linebackers a couple times. And then a couple times Josh found him actually on some scrambles. But they really attacked that second level of the Lions defense through the pass game. The offensive line did a great job to keep Josh clean again. They also opened up some big holes. The Bills on the ground did a great job. 197 yards on 34 carries. 5.8 yards a carry. Against a good, a little bit banged up, but very good and aggressive Lions defense in front 7, front 4. James Cook, 41-yard touchdown run, was the highlight of it. I mean, they even tried to pull him by the hair. I don't know what that feels like, but I know that's got to probably hurt and throw you off balance, but he still kept on running, and he got into the end zone. 41-yard run. He finished 14 carries for 105 yards, 7.5 yards a carry, much different than last week when he just couldn't get going. And this was a much different ball game in a flip from what we saw from the Bills. So 28 yards, by the way, receiving, 133 total for James Cook on offense. Tight ends got involved in this one. Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid, good to see him back. They combined 6 passes for 95 yards. And then you had the throw from Josh to Keon Coleman, which is just Superman, right? I mean, the guy's getting hit, and he throws it on a rope 50-plus yards. Keon's got his head know you're watching me. Maybe you're listening, but if you're watching me, he's got his head kind of turned to the sideline. He sees Josh Strode. He has to turn back this way to his inside before he catches it. I mean, I think that's how it turned out. It was all blur because it was incredible. So, yeah, just amazing plays all around that the Bills, you know, made here and there. And how about some, you know, under the radar things, some hidden yardage? Sam Martin, one punt, 51 yards and down to the Lions 4-yard line. The Bills started that drive at their own like 8-yard line, I believe it was. Flip it to the Lions 4. Eric Wood said on the broadcast, you always want to score, but that's a win for the offense right there. So that was really great. Third down offense, 5 for 10 for the Bills on third down. Now, they were not very good on third down defense and on fourth down defense. Third down defense, they were okay, actually. 6 of 13 for 48%, 46%. That's not terrible, but it's not great. You'd like to be a little bit better than that, but what compounded it, though, was the Lions went for 3 fourth downs, and they converted them all. The Bills also went for a huge fourth down right at midfield, and that was another one of those Ty Johnson isolation plays. Josh threw it, and it was just out of the reach of Ty, almost, and then Ty Johnson went up and got it, just like when Dawson Knox, just out of the reach of him, it seemed like. Boy, what is it about Josh and these guys that are wide open sometimes? He threads the needle on the most amazingly covered guys, and then he throws it just a bit off on guys who are wide open. Remember Dalton Kincaid and Indy, same thing happened. Luckily, this time, both Johnson and Kincaid caught the passes. And then some of the Bills need to clean up as well. The Lions were 5 for 5 in the Bills' red zone. But look, a lot of this is because of the injuries to the secondary. Like I said, Damar Hamlin, Taylor Rapp, and Rasul Douglas all did not play. And during the game, Matt Milano went out with a groin injury. I'm thinking, just from seeing him on the sidelines walking around, maybe a little precautionary, but we're still going to have to see where that is, you know, this week as it leads up. Cole Bishop, he went out of the game, looked really, oh my God, non-contact injury. Don't worry, it was cramping. He said after the game, he was cramping a little bit. So, you know, that's obviously good news that Cole Bishop is going to be okay. So we'll see where they go with injuries with the New England Patriots on tap. Is it possible that that game could get moved to the 4 o'clock window? The NFL does start doing that this time of year with some of these games a little bit more often. And now with some of these teams jockeying for position, maybe not because of the Bills necessarily or the Patriots, obviously, but because of other things that are going around. If you look at the schedule, and when I do look at the schedule, I also got to mention what happened today with the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs win the game. They beat the Cleveland Browns 21-7. Patrick Mahomes, apparently a high ankle sprain. That's what's being reported. I have to be super honest. This is crazy. I had no idea this even happened until I got back to my house. I was so busy writing my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column and getting on the plane and getting ready and doing interviews after the game. I did not even know that that happened during that game until I got home. So shame on me, but I saw it and then I had to go look at the video. And then of course I'm thinking, well, every year he has some sort of injury late in the year and he comes back and everybody makes him like, oh my God, here's Patrick Mahomes. He's incredible. He's fighting through these injuries and give him credit for it. But I'm wondering, okay, like what is really, you know, the injury here? We'll see. We'll see. Now they do have Carson Wentz as a backup, but the difference this year might be like that offense isn't great anyway. I mean, they win today with 21 points on Sunday. They scored 19 against the Chargers, 19 against the Raiders, 21 against the Bills, 16 against the Broncos. They haven't been lighting it up. They did score 30 against the Panthers, but, you know, they just one game over with the Bills. They scored 21 against the Bills. They have one game over 21 points in their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And only, yeah, so what? In the teens in three of those games. So that's partly the reason why. The other reason why is because they have three games in 11 days coming up. They played on Sunday, and they're in the part. This is the part where they have three games in 11 days. They're in the middle of this. Basically, they played on Sunday. They play again on Saturday, and then on the following Wednesday, which is Christmas, and they play Houston and they play Pittsburgh. They get Houston at home. They got to go to Pittsburgh, and then they go to Denver, which is got a very good pass rush, by the way. Excellent. They're going to be very aggressive. And speaking of the Steelers, they do lose at the Eagles 27-13. So if you look at the actual standings in the AFC, as we wrap this up, the Bills are still two games back of the one seed. But now Kansas City's got to deal with this injury to Patrick Mahomes. We'll see where it goes. The Bills have the Patriots twice and the Jets. They're going to be favored pretty heavily in all those games. They need to take care of business because it is possible. And they still will look at the one seed based on a lot of this with the Mahomes injury and what happens with this. Steelers drop a full game back of the Bills in their race to try and catch the Bills for the two seed. And then Houston is lurking right there. Houston 9-5, Pittsburgh 10-4. Is it possible Houston could jump Pittsburgh for that three seed? Maybe. Baltimore sitting pretty at the five right now, but they're tied with Denver and they do have the head to head against Denver. But they're tied with them. And then the Chargers, they blow a big opportunity. They had a chance to stay tied with Baltimore and Denver for that last playoff spot, but they lose. They've now lost three out of the last four. They lose the Buccaneers 40-17. How about that? 40-17. So that obviously also helped out the Indianapolis Colts and the Miami Dolphins, who both lost, but they both sit two games back of the LA Chargers. So did the Cincinnati Bengals, by the way. So the only teams that are still alive there, Indy, Miami, and Cincy, who could still catch those teams in the AFC. All right, Bills, Patriots next week. We'll stay on top of injuries for you. I'll have everything at WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll be on a Monday morning, either 7 or 8 p.m. with Jeremy and Joe. And then Matt and I will be back together doing another podcast later in the week. Thanks a lot to Mike Robbie, our producer here, and it's always Game Day in Buffalo. Hey, go to the Sal Sports YouTube page, at Sal Sports on YouTube. I'm there doing a lot of stuff. We got this. I got Sal's House video podcast. We got a lot of different content over there. Check it out. Thanks a lot for all of you who've been subscribing. And also, of course, wherever you pod, it's always Game Day in Buffalo. 48-42, the Bills beat the Detroit Lions. And in the process, tie an NFL record with 8 straight games of 40 or more points. 11-3 on the season now. We'll talk to you later this week on the next It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.